Father, I just, Lord, I praise you for who you are, and I just thank you so much for how you love each one of us and how your desire is to heal us and redeem us from the brokenness of this world and choices that were made for us and choices that we've made for ourselves, Lord. And Father, I just pray that tonight, just the story of your love would shine through my story that you've given me, Lord. I thank you for life, and I thank you for just the opportunity to be here tonight. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so my name is Shelley Lindahl, and I am a participant in the healing ministry called Shelter from the Storm, which is a ministry for women who have survived sexual abuse. And so this is my story. So if you don't know me, even if you do, here's a little piece of trivia about me. I love puzzles. I remember spending a lot of hours at my grandma's house, sitting at a card table down in the basement doing puzzles with her. And when I was a teen, I loved the Rubik's Cube. And yes, I could do it in less than a minute. I was a total nerd. Now, as an adult, my guilty pleasure is Sudoku, or some of you in the room know Words with Friends, so I love Scrabble. But my favorite part about doing a puzzle is kind of that aha moment when you see everything coming together. It's a tipping point of sorts. It's one piece or one move, one number, or maybe it's a singular event in our lives that a great mystery is revealed to us by the Lord. Paul prays for this kind of a tipping point for the church at Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. In 2009, while attending a 10th Avenue North concert hosted by Watermark, I experienced a tipping point in my recovery. Between two songs, Lainey Tate, who is the leader for Shelter from the Storm, stood up and gave her story of healing from sexual abuse, and I was stunned. At the age of 40, I realized that I too had been sexually abused. And the events that led me here in front of you tonight were placed into motion. So it was a very long road getting here. I was born into a broken family. My mother was 16 when she discovered that she was pregnant with me, and she didn't know who my father was because she was between two relationships. She and her new boyfriend, and I'll just put this in here too, my mom at the age of 16 was on her way to the abortion clinic to have an abortion and got halfway there and decided that she could not follow through with that. So I just praise the Lord for life and that I'm sitting here in front of you today and that she responded to the Holy Spirit in that moment, even though she wasn't a believer. She and her new boyfriend married, but they divorced when I was 3. And while it turns out that he was not my biological father, he is the only father that I've ever known. Over the next 5 years, my mom and I moved around a lot, and she was married and divorced 2 more times. I don't know when the sexual abuse began. What I do know is that I cannot recall a time in my life when I was not sexually aware. My earliest memory is, by my mom's best estimate, around age 3, and involves what seem like snapshots in my mind of my younger cousin and I acting out sexual behaviors that little girls our age simply don't know without being taught by someone. By the time I was 5, I had been exposed to pornography and abused by an older stepbrother. I was regularly trying to coerce other children into elaborate and advanced sexual situations with one another or with me. My mother said I was precocious, but I say that I was robbed of my childhood and my innocence. My mom often let me wander the neighborhood alone, leaving me unprotected and vulnerable to dangerous situations. Many memories from this period of my life, so from the ages of 5 to 8, involved spending time with a neighbor who was an adult man and making out with boys who were in their teens. When I was 8 years old, my father and my stepmother won custody of me after a long string of court battles. Within weeks of moving in with them, my stepmother began physically and emotionally abusing me. My father was a workaholic, and despite the visible signs of abuse, he never mentioned this or stepped in to protect me. And as a result of a string of lies and manipulation on my stepmother's part, my mother lost all rights to me when I was 12 years old. She and I would be separated with absolutely no communication over the next 10 years. I felt utterly alone and completely abandoned. To survive, I learned to discern my stepmother's moods. I hid in my room and acted happy all of the time so that I wouldn't rock the boat, and I pretended to hate my mom so that my stepmother and I could be on the same team. I lost my voice and my identity, and I buried myself in schoolwork and extracurricular activities, anything to keep me out of the house and out of her reach. My favorite distraction was in relationships. I can't remember a time in my life that I didn't feel desperate to be loved. I longed to feel significant and secure. That probably doesn't change anything, does it? In addition to the damaging events of my early childhood that had already taken place, I was also abused by a female babysitter when I was 9 years old. This experience aroused and twisted my fleshly desires, and I started pressuring girlfriends into sexual situations throughout my preteen, teen, and my early adult years. By the time my high school coach cornered me in the locker room, my boundaries and self-worth had long since been shattered, making me a very easy target for him. His abuse continued until I was 17, when I left home for the Army, but the damage followed me for years and years afterwards. I remember telling my best friend, who responded in disgust, and the shame that I felt wrapped its bony fingers around my soul. I called myself a slut and a whore for over 20 years. When I was 18, my father was murdered by my stepmother, and I spun out of control. Drinking, partying, and more inappropriate and casual relationships with men, as well as a handful of sexual experiences with other women. I had long ago confused sex for love. My heart was a vast gaping hole, and I was intent on filling it. The loss of my dad was devastating, and it would be years before I would step foot in a church, let alone want anything to do with God again. My life was marked by chaos for years, and I left a wide trail of destruction in my path, in my wake, both. I've had 2 abortions. Both times, this decision was made out of fear, and it was easy for me to believe the lie that the real problem was the baby, that it was my body and my choice, and that the answer to my problem was to have an abortion. They said that this would make everything better, and I could go back to life as usual. They lied. For 16 years, I kept this secret. I carried the weight of the guilt and the shame of those decisions, and while I've experienced miraculous healing and forgiveness, there is still rarely a day that goes by that I don't wonder who those children would have grown up to be. I've been married twice. I was first married when I was 18, just after my father was murdered. For years, I told people that my first husband left me for someone else, which was a lie. I intentionally used personal information against him when I wanted out of the marriage only 6 months later. I was no different when I met my second husband, And I was infinitely needy, and in respect, he was emotionally unavailable. As you can imagine, our relationship was a roller coaster. To everyone else, we looked like the perfect couple. But behind closed doors, the same codependent cycles kept playing out over and over again. We were all alone. We weren't connected to a body of believers, and we were doing it on our own and just failing miserably. I was not hearing the truth anywhere in my life, and it was very easy for me to believe that I had married the wrong man, that I had been mistaken about his ability to love me the way that I needed to be loved, that if he really loved me, I would feel happy, and that divorce would actually be better for our kids, and that what God really wanted was my happiness. And so after 4 years of marriage and being very deceived in my thinking, I walked away. Over the next 3 years, I was in and out of two more relationships. Each breakup was more emotionally devastating, and ultimately I found myself curled up in a ball on the floor of my living room floor, wishing that I had the courage to kill myself. That was a rock bottom of sorts for me, for sure. Although I had known God my whole life and had accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 12 while visiting a friend's church, I had not grown up in a family that was capable of nurturing that relationship, and this is really the first time that I had any clue that I might actually need God in my life. So I decided that I should do things the right way and clean up my life so that it would be acceptable to God. Sounds like a good plan, right? I started going to a Bible-based church. I got baptized, and I did a lot of church activities. But the whole time, I kept my secret sins hidden deep inside of me so that I could look like a good Christian girl to the people around me. So I have to admit, this was very exhausting, and I simply couldn't keep it up for very long. After 3 years of performance-based abstinence, I found myself in yet another inappropriate relationship, and this time with a married man. I was in turmoil. I would break it off and go back, break it off and go back. Romans 7:18 says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." I knew that what I was doing was wrong, but I felt like I couldn't stop myself. My relationship with this man only served to confirm what a failure I was in my own mind. The pain and the shame of this failure brought out other coping mechanisms that had come and gone over the years. As I mentioned before, I had been exposed to pornography as a young child, and it had been part of a handful of relationships in my life. Now I found myself turning to it on my own, and the shame as a woman was overwhelming. In addition, food, which had been an intermittent friend, had now become a constant companion to me. At night, I would binge on amazing amounts of food in hopes of finding comfort. And when all I found was greater distress, guilt, and shame, I went back for more food, hoping that the comfort would eventually come. So this was the state of my life when I first came to Watermark in 2007. I was living a double life in fear of rejection and failure, wanting to protect my reputation and my false sense of control in my life. I was walking around with a smile on my face and telling everyone that I was fine when the truth was that I was dying inside. My personal opinion of myself that I was damaged goods, a lying, stealing, murderous whore who lacked self-control and would be identified by my failures for the rest of my life. In Psalm 32:3, David declares, "When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long." By the time that I arrived at Watermark's recovery program, a few weeks later, I was desperate for relief from the mess that I had made of my life. I had no idea how to have a truly connected relationship with anyone that wasn't marked by lies, control, and manipulation. I was in bondage to my sins, my fears, my pride, my hiding, and my secrets. And they were barriers in my relationships with my children, my family, friends, coworkers, and patients. Worse yet, I had constructed a wall between me and God. Deep down inside, I hated myself, and I loathed the person that I had become. When I confess my sins in my recovery group, the women around me welcomed me with open arms and lifted me up in prayer. I came face to face with the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. I was a sinner and he loved me anyway. This changed my heart and encouraged me to start taking responsibility for my own choices and actions, releasing the sinful behaviors that I had adopted in my life that were barriers in my relationship with the Lord and would never satisfy the cry of my heart. James 4, 7, and 8 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Through Christ and Christ alone, I began to learn how to battle against temptation and my sinful nature, ways that were healthy and not self-destructive. I drew near to God, and God drew near to me. So there I stood a couple of years ago, listening to a testimony that captured a piece of my own history, and the term sexual abuse was born into my world. Jeremiah 6:14 says, "You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there." Although the Lord had used my recovery work in a mighty way to draw me closer to him, prior to that, I was unable to see that the abuse by my coach, let alone all of the other sexual abuse that I had experienced, was like a deep and hidden festering wound that was leaking into every area of my life and holding me back from healing and growth and from being the woman that God had called me to be. I was fine. It didn't really affect me. It was a long time ago. These are things that I told myself and didn't even realize I was telling myself sometimes. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And God used his faithful servants, the women in my life, who saw my heart and encouraged me to go to Shelter from the Storm. Shelter has been God's love song to my broken heart. In Isaiah 63:4-5, the Lord says, "For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from their oppressors. I was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed, so I myself stepped in to save them with my strong arm, and my wrath sustained me." Shelter has shown me that God is my champion and my protector, my Abba Father, the daddy that my heart has ached for all these years. Joel 2:25 says, "I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten." The work of shelter is not always easy, and sometimes I am shocked at the pain that I still have buried deep inside me and my sinful nature's daily reminder that I am depraved and wretched and in desperate need of a Savior. But the Lord has used shelter to open up and soften areas of my heart that I didn't even know were shut down. He has used shelter to restore in me a powerful voice to speak the truth about my abuse and to speak out against the insidious and deceitful lies that were born from it. He has used shelter to reveal to me his faithful character, his deep love for me, and his mighty healing power in my life. I cannot begin to describe how much the Lord has changed me. Today, I have a rich, deep, and abiding relationship with the Lord that sustains me in a way that shallow relationships, food, and sex never could. I know that I can turn to him in my need, and he will comfort and provide for me. Don't get me wrong, my life is by no means perfect. But where I once was utterly alone, I am now surrounded by a community of godly women who love me in spite of myself, and without whom I would easily lose my way, because they love me enough to tell me the truth even when I might not want to hear it. If you're new tonight, I welcome you. You've come to a safe place, and we'll be surrounded by people who have been praying for you even before you walk through these doors. Whether you're new or have been coming for a while, I encourage you, keep coming, get connected, stay connected, and surround yourselves with community. The Lord's desire is to heal you and have an unhindered relationship with you, and he'll use the people in your life to to reach that goal. And so I'll leave you with Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.